I'd like us to turn to Luke's Gospel this morning, chapter 10. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, please. I want to read some of the opening verses and then some of the closing verses in the chapter. Beginning then at verse 1, we're looking at Luke chapter 10 this morning. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, Peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, they receive you not. Go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, Even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, they do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be you sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. And then verse 38, if you turn over to that, please. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Amen. And in a reading at the end of the chapter, knowing the Lord will bless those readings to our hearts this morning. Turning back, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. We entitle our message this morning, A Quiet Time Needful. Let's just unite our hearts together in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the opportunity to worship thee in a public fashion. Recognize, Lord, that there are those of thy redeemed and they're persecuted in this world today. They cannot meet in such a fashion such as this. Lord, we'd ask that we might never take it for granted. Oh God, we might rejoice in thy presence and be able to sing these hymns. Lord, this hymn that has exhorted us to take time to be holy. Speak off with thy Lord. We thank the Lord for the people who pray. Thank the Lord for the prayers of God's people for my wife even this week. And for others that have been unwell. And we praise thee, Lord, for answers to prayer. We'd ask that thou would bless us now as we, Lord, would come into this home. A home that is presented to us in these verses. We pray that thou wouldst apply the lessons to each and every heart, whether young or older alike. O God, to that end I pray thou would anoint us with fresh oil. We might know that unction of the Holy Spirit afresh to preach the preaching that thou hast bidden us. For we pray these things in our Savior's name. Amen. This little piece of narrative about a family home that the Savior was comfortable in is only to be found in the Gospel of Luke. It is a narrative about Mary and Martha that will stand the course of time, and which furnishes us with valuable lessons with regard to our own personal walk with the Lord. None more so than when it comes to what someone has stated is the traditional cornerstone of 20th century evangelical spirituality. And that is what has commonly become known as the quiet time. Today, among many professing believers, the thought is that the chief end of our salvation is Christian work. And so much emphasis is placed upon great activity and what we can do. But don't forget that the mark of true spiritual growth and success is not necessarily great crusades and great numbers and great activity. If that was so, then we would all embrace that which boasts the great numbers in religious circles and be carried along with the flow, or should I say with the froth. The fundamental mistake that many make today is that the Scriptures do not teach that the main goal of a believer is service, but rather it is sanctification. Romans chapter 8 verse 29 reminds us that the Lord God chose us in eternity past that He might conform us to the image of His Son. God's salvation wrought a change in the heart of the repentant sinner. If it doesn't wrought a change, then there's a question mark whether the work has been done. And that conformity that Romans speaks about will be completed, of course, when we are glorified ourselves and we shall see Him as He is. But to develop this conformity unto Christ, to grow in His grace and in His knowledge, there is no substitute for spending time with the Lord. That is something, of course, that is true in the physical realm. If you want to get to know a person better, then invariably you will delight in spending time in their company. But the quiet time is on the decrease. And in many cases, it has been abandoned, as that which is no longer helpful, compelling, or relevant. And then we wonder why there's a growing ignorance of the Scriptures among even those who profess to be evangelical. It is not merely the loss of something that has been historically pursued, but it is the loss of personal godliness and heart religion that is at stake. And I remind ourselves that no zealous service can ever be permitted to replace what is essentially our means of spiritual growth and knowing the Lord. I want to take you this morning, and if you want a text, you have it in verse 42, where the Savior said, "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her." The quiet time that is needful. Let me show you first of all here, as we get into this home, as we get into this narrative, the problem with Martha. The Savior en route to Jerusalem was to pass through the little village of Bethany. And doesn't that give us encouragement to know that it is not just the larger cities that the attention of the Savior is drawn to? It's not just the larger groups of people that congregate to worship, but He can favor the smaller places, the ones and twos that are gathered in His name, especially where He is willingly received. And that is the case here in Bethany, for there was a home there where He was welcomed into along with His disciples, and that was the home of Martha. It didn't matter to her the cost of what it would have meant to entertain the Savior. And neither did she consider the danger of welcoming the one who had been rejected of men, and one whom many sought hold to lay hold upon, especially being so close to Jerusalem. It didn't matter to her. For Martha, it was an honor to have the presence of the Savior in her very home. It ought to be our prayer, men and women, that as others come into our homes, that they know the presence of the Lord. And while Martha is noted for receiving the Lord into her home, it soon becomes overshadowed by her actions that are recorded for us in these few verses. And in particular, the words of our text are issued from the Lord as instruction to her. There were problems that the Savior was to address directly to Martha. She was distracted instead of being devoted. The words of verse 40 instruct us that she was cumbered about with much serving. And the word cumbered there literally means that she was distracted. Martha was in the business of laying on a supper for the Savior. There were many things that had to be taken up with her attention. While it is commendable that she cared enough to provide some sustenance, yet it is a folly and it is a sin that it became a hindrance and it became a distraction to her. She was taken up with and was distracted with the physical, so much so that she missed out on the spiritual. Instead of being distracted, she ought to have been showing devotion to her Lord and Savior. That devotion could have shown itself in coming before the Lord and in listening attentively to what He had to say to her soul. And so it is, dear believer in life. For we're no different than Martha. How many things take us away from devotion to being distracted and troubled? There are the cares of life, which the Apostle Paul, he mentions and reminds Timothy about, is that which entangle a soldier, and they're not easy got rid of. How often is other issues pressing in your heart, and they need attention, so that the time with the Lord is squeezed, if not altogether forsaken? And that is a problem. And it may be legitimate things, but it takes us away from that time with the Lord. And this is the problem with Martha. Instead of devotion, there was distraction. See, also her problem was one of complaining instead of communing. The busyness of Martha was more worldly than it was heavenly. For her zeal and commitment did not cause her to rejoice, for instead there was the complaining spirit. There's the appeal that she was to make unto the Lord, that He might justify what she was doing, and that He might bid her sister Mary to come and help her. For Martha, while she felt justified in doing a good work, she sought to judge her sister, who was just sitting doing nothing. Mary, instead of being commended for spending time communing with the Lord, she was condemned, for Martha thought that she was lacking in her very duty. And dear child of God, worldly business, it is a snare to us when it hinders us from seeking God and seeking those occasions where our soul can be benefited and our souls can be edified. And it may be that you'll be discouraged from spending time in the presence of the Lord. And there will be those hindrances from those that are around you and about you. And there will be the complaining instead of the communing and the commending spirit. And see that the problem of Martha was that she was serving instead of sitting. There was the opportunity to sit at the feet of Christ. The Savior, in His busy schedule on His way to Jerusalem, had come by. He'd come into that home that He had been in before. There was the opportunity for her to come aside and to sit before the Lord while He was teaching in their home. But Martha, instead, is found serving. The verse states that she was troubled about much serving. It implies that her heart was upon having a great spread, a great variety of what she was able to put on the table. Was it mere pride of heart that kept her away from the quiet time with the Lord? The Savior was in her home. There was going to be the vast supper led on for Him. While all the time she ought to have taken advantage of His teaching and sat down with her sister at His feet. You see, men and women, the flesh loves to be busy. The flesh loves to be doing something so that it can be commended. And yet throughout the Scriptures, how contrasting is the counsel of God. How often God instructs us and He says, "Be still and know that I am God." Remember Israel, when Pharaoh and his army were encroaching upon them, when the Red Sea was before them, they thought, their thought was, that they should have stayed to serve the Egyptians. But you know, they received a message from the Lord. We find it in Exodus chapter 14 and the words of verse 12. And they're speaking here to Moses. "Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." And here is the complaining spirit of the children of Israel. They're not far out. They're not long out of the land of Egypt. They've crossed over the Red Sea. And yet already they're murmuring. And they said, "Did we not tell you it's better that we serve the Egyptians?" Verse 13, "And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." They're just about to cross over the Red Sea. And Moses just says to them, "Fear not. Stand still. Stand still and see the salvation, the deliverance that God will wrought for you." You see, men and women, there must be the sitting before there's the serving. Isaiah 40 and verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I wonder how it is with you this morning. Are the problems of Martha your problems as well? We're just like her in so many ways. But not only do you see here the problems of Martha, but I want you to notice the position of Mary. What a contrast is seen when we look at Mary and how she is revealed to us. The attendance that she gave wasn't to the mundane, it wasn't to the external. But she attended to the word of the Lord. And her position was one of which was decided. You see, the words of the Savior in her text state this: "Mary hath chosen a good part." There was that conscious decision. Once the Lord came into the home, that she was going to make the best of the opportunity and that she was going to attend unto His Word. There has never been one who has been in the presence of the Savior and come away the worse off. Never one. And Mary instead had been taken up with lesser things, taken up with the matters which would still be there when the Savior had finished His discourse and gone on His way. She decided to have the good portion of attending unto that which was spiritual and unto that which is eternal. And can I say to every soul born again of God's Spirit, the quiet time will never be enjoyed. It will never be kept unless you decide it must be the place that you are in. The busyness of life and every other time-consuming aspect of life will bid for your attention. But you must decide it above other things. I must spend time with the Lord. No one else will decide that for you. It's Robert Murray McShane, I believe, who said this: "I must see the face of God in the morning before I see the face of men." He met with God. You can think of Moses and what was said to him of him. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And he endured a seeing him who is invisible. Moses knew God face to face. He's known as the friend of God. You have a friend, you want to spend time with him. You see, there's no substitute for your growth in grace and knowing God than spending time with the Lord. Mary, she chose this position. It was decided. Her position was one also of devotion to the Lord. You see, many wrongly might think that the mark of true devotion is service. And while Ephesians 2 and verse 10 reminds us that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, yet notice that it wasn't Martha here that is commended here by the Lord, but it's Mary. The position of Mary was that which spoke of her devotion. She was before her Master. She was desiring to catch every word that came from the Savior's lips. She saw it that nothing else would be permitted to distract her away from her devotion to the Lord. And you know, I want you to understand that it wasn't just a passing whim. For every time that we read of Mary, her devotion is obvious. And she's found at the feet of the Savior. You come with me to John chapter 11. John 11, of course, finds the Lord again in that very same home. There's bereavement there. Lazarus has died. And we read in the words of verse 32, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." When she knew where the Lord was, she went. She had heard that the Savior had come. And she went and she bowed and she fell at His feet. And she's at His feet seeking comfort. You look across into chapter 12 and the words of verse 3. "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." And she's again found at the Savior's feet, this time in service. That costly oil was poured upon him, anointed the feet of Jesus, and she wiped his feet with her glory, with her hair. All glory was his. And then this text of ours that we're looking at this morning, it finds us seeing Mary at his feet, and first and foremost for instruction. That must come first before the others. She's a woman who was truly devoted to the Lord. Tell me, what about you who are saved? It's one thing to speak words of devotion. It's one thing to sing praises of devotion unto the Lord. And I pray that this congregation may always be a good singing congregation. But what about the real mark of devotion, of waiting on the Lord? Of spending time in the presence of the risen Savior, of receiving His instruction. Let it not be said of us what Elijah was to prophesy concerning the hypocrites that the Savior rehearsed in Matthew 15 and verse 8. "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." The position of Mary is one of being determined. She's determined to receive instruction and spiritual nourishment for her soul. Verse 39 specifically states that she sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. She was slow to speak, but swift to hear in comparison to Martha. And consider that you took the position that scholars do with their tutors. You see, that was something that was said of Paul. He speaks it in Acts 22 and verse 3. I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye are all this day. Here's a man, and he rehearses in his life. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was the one who was instructing. He was a scholar. And he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. And no better position can we have than being at the feet of the all-knowing Christ. It was so with the demoniac, out of whom the Lord was to deliver those devils. It says that he sat at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. It was the case with John, exiled on the Isle of Patmos. For we read that he was to fall down before the one who appeared unto him, the one who walked amongst his candlesticks. He fell down as one that was dead. And it was there that he received instruction from the Lord as to what he was to write. Our sitting at Christ's feet to hear His Word, it signifies a readiness to receive it, a submission and resignation within ourselves to its guidance. I wonder, have you that determination this morning? They that do know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. Is this your position, or has the quiet time been abandoned in your life? I want you to ask that question to yourself. It's nobody else's business, only you, between you and God. Is that your position of sitting at the Savior's feet? Or is the quiet time gone, by the way? Oh, but preacher, I'm so busy, I can't seem to get the time. Just turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, please. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. I want you to consider the Lord Himself. See, I say this, there's none were as busy as Him. I'm too busy, I can't take time to have the quiet time. Well, let's look at this here. Look at verse 32. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. You see the time of day, it's in the evening. The sun is already setting. And they still brought the people to him. They still brought those that were sick and diseased. And they brought them on the Savior that he might have them healed. Verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and healed the sick. No, it doesn't say that. It says he went out and departed into a solitary place. And there prayed. So his life, his ministry is right up into the evening time of the day before. The sun is already setting. And the people are brought to him. And yet the very next morning, before the sun rises, he's already left the place where he laid his head that night. He's went out into the solitary place. What to do? He went to pray. How much more do we need to do that? And this is the Savior we're reading about. I ask again, is your possession the possession of Mary? It's a word that's so simple that children will understand it. Do you have that little time with the Lord? Every day. You see, I want to show you also this morning the proclamation of the Master. It's imperative that we give attention to the words that the Savior spoke. He proclaimed that night in the home the priority that is required in the believer's life. For he says in verse 42, but one thing is needful. One thing is needful. The action of Mary of sitting in the presence of the Savior is that which is necessary for every one of us who profess faith in Christ. Imagine saying that you love someone. Imagine saying to your partner, to your wife or to your husband, I love you. And yet I don't want to spend time in your presence. It's unthinkable. It's hypocritical. And the psalmist could say, I love the Lord because He hath heard my supplications. And we love Him because He first loved us. Dear people, the Lord says here is one thing that is needful. It's not the only thing. The unconverted loved one this morning needs this day to recognize their state and to seek the Lord in salvation. You need to experience what the blind man was to experience in John 9, where he said, that one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Your unsaved soul today, the one thing needful for you is God's salvation. That's what you need. The wandering soul in Bypath Meadow needs that restoring power of the Savior to bring them back to their first love. That's the one thing needful for you. A child of God desiring to go on with God. Here is the one thing needful. If you don't want to become a backslider, if you don't want to grow cold in your heart, it is to spend time with the Lord. It must be your priority above everything and everyone else. But this one thing is needful. You'll notice the truth about what pleases God. It's not the entertainment and activity that so many engage themselves in to this day, just as Martha was guilty of doing on this occasion. And that's why the Savior was to gently rebuke her. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens. Look at verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. He speaks to her by name. He knows His sheep by name. He goeth before them. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Is He calling your name this morning? In the context of our passage? Martha, Martha. He speaks to her by name. As with others in the Scriptures, being deeply concerned for her and displeased that she should think to please Him with a rich entertainment and by troubling herself in the preparing of it. Instead of being taken up with many things, she had missed out on the one thing needful, that good part. That which pleases the Lord is not what the world thinks. For the world and the flesh will engage in all manner of works if they think it will gain them acceptance before God. The Scriptures remind us that it's better to obey and to sacrifice. As God's people, we want to please Him who hath called us out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel of saving grace, who has chosen us in Christ. And we do it not by entertainment as symbolized by Martha, but having that good part that Mary had. And you'll see that the proclamation of the Lord speaks of the permanence of the blessing that we receive from waiting upon the Lord. Verse 42, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. What Mary received that evening would not be taken from her. She chose the good part of being with Christ, of being taught of her Master. And the person who spends time at the feet of the Lord on earth in union with Him will one day spend eternity around the throne of God on high. For Romans 8, it exclaims to us that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You ever notice something? Romans 8 starts with no condemnation. It ends with no separation. What a chapter. One day the things which are seen shall be burned up. We shall be taken from them. But for the believer who cherished those times spent with God and desired to be more conformed unto the image of their Master and their Savior, those blessings will never be taken away. They are permanent. They shall stretch out into God's eternity when we shall be in the immediate presence of our Lord and of our Savior. Dear child of God, labor not for that which is passing and transitory, but that which is eternal. And in all our labors for the Master, make sure first that you spend even more time with the Master. That's how it was for the Lord Himself. If I can take you back to that chapter in Mark 1 that we looked at just a minute ago. Mark chapter 1, we read verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Then look at verse 38, and He said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. Verse 35, He prayed. He prayed first. Verse 38, He then went preaching. He then went laboring. That's how it is with the Savior. Before we set our hand to do a work for God, make sure you first of all spend time with God. If that altar has been broken down in your home, then rebuild it. It may be that the family is now blown the nest, as we would say. And maybe they're grown up and they're out of the house. That's no reason why you haven't or shouldn't have the altar built. If that altar is broken down, I'll repeat it. Build it up again. Reinstate that quiet time with the Lord as a matter of priority. Your unsaved loved one, may you seek the Lord today. May you experience that goodness of the Lord in salvation. For I'll tell you something, salvation is that which will last for time and all eternity. Seek Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Get to the cross this morning. Get to seeking the Lord in prayer for your soul. May God help you to do so. May the Lord bless His word to each of our hearts for His own name's sake. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, please, in closing. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for the consideration of Thy precious word this morning that has brought us into the home of Martha and Mary. We thank the Lord for the example that Mary set. We thank the Lord she chose that good part that could not be taken from her, of sitting at the Master's feet. And God, we pray that Thou would help us to guard the quiet time. Lord, we realize there's much that will cumber us. There's much, Lord, to distract, even in service. But Lord, we pray that before we put our hand to service, we might wait on the Lord. We might be found at His feet. God, I pray for every family, every home that's represented here. I pray, Lord, that that altar will be raised. I pray, O God, that that quiet time with God might be reinstated if it has been knocked down. And, O God, I pray that Thou would strengthen us in the inner man, that we might be a people who do know our God and are strong and shall do exploits. Speak, Lord, to the unconverted. Bring them to the cross. O God, lift scales from off eyes, that they might recognize their and unstained. And the one thing that is needful, that of the salvation of their soul. We realize, Lord, how it say to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Oh God, write those words even in the heart of the unconverted just now. We pray by thy Spirit that thou would bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Hear this, our prayer, part us with thy blessing. Keep us in the Spirit this day. Bring us back to thy house tonight, and I will. We ask these things for Jesus' sake, for God's eternal glory.